This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. There is an age-old stereotype regarding Asian families where their progeny are pressured into being one of three things: doctors, engineers, or lawyers. But as the pandemic raged on, many instead took to the risky business of entrepreneurship. So joining me on the line today are Ivor Lim Sianzet and Chiu Hoi Ming, lawyers turned co-founders of natural beauty brand Higer, to discuss their journey and how sometimes defying the norm is the key to success.
Hi, thanks for having us. So Higer is a business focused on producing naturally derived products and also eco-friendly packaging. That simple.
And both of us are lawyer and used to be. I'm now still. And then from side hustle, slowly turning to be a real business.
Right now.
Great. So talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, you guys were lawyers, and then you jumped into creating like this eco-friendly natural beauty brand. So what was the catalyst? I understand you guys started out with two products. You started out with a deodorant and a like lip balm slash lip tint situation. So Ming, I think let's start with you and the story about the deodorant and why you guys started with that.
Okay, the Higer brand started in last year during pandemic time. The reason why we started this is Owen and I have a thing about business. We always have to think about business. We started a lot of some dropshipping business, like buying from China and then dropshipping selling in Malaysia.
Prior to Higer.
It's during our university time. Even when we went to UK for our bar school to obtain our law license, so we went to there.
So there's always been an entrepreneur side of us, despite studying law.
And then during pandemic, and we just finished our privilege, and it's an internship in law. So for every lawyer, you have to take 9 months of privilege, and then only after that you can be qualified to be a lawyer. So after we finished the 9 months at privilege, and then both of us couldn't find a job. We have even applied for 30 or 40 law firms, and then most of them just no reply or just, oh, you are not qualified, something like that.
Yeah, we both applied to more than 50 different law firms in KL. Yeah. It's crazy.
So back then we were still in Butterworth, like Penang, our hometown. And then I started this natural deodorants in my parents' house. It's an empty bedroom. And then the reason why I started this is I wanted to create a product that provide value to customer, meaning to solve a problem of the society or something. So I started with my own problem. I have very bad body odor. And then I was using Nivea, those kind of like deep aspirants, store brand, that didn't help me to solve the problem. And even when I sweat, the smell's really bad. So I want to come up with a natural deodorant that works for me. So that's how the first product being formulated and founded.
Okay, so basically the store brands were not working for you, so you basically took it into your own hands, quite literally.
Yeah.
And then for Ivor, then following that was the lip tint or lip balms that you guys have.
So a few months later, when we kind of know where we get our raw materials and like how to go about it, because if you notice, the natural deodorants that we have in our tinted lip balms are sort of the same concept in a stick form, in a paper, eco-friendly. So we tried to venture into new products, and it was just mainly because I used to use a lot of like 2-in-1 lip balm. So I hate wearing lipstick because it always makes my lips so dry. So I just wanted to come up with something that is pigmented and moisturizing at the same time. So I'm selling, like, now the tinted lip balms are our bestsellers.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, there was that focus on that paper packaging as well, and that eco-friendly packaging. Why was that so important to you guys to establish?
Because during the pandemic, like we were just thinking about, okay, what makes us stand out from any other Malaysian skincare products, because we've been seeing a lot of eco-friendly and all those products for the environmental awareness in overseas, but nothing really is going forward towards eco-friendly kind of thing in Malaysia. So we tried to come up with paper tube. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is like biodegradable after you finish you use, and we just bury in the soil, because like there are so many business and skincare out there, like we just don't really need another plastic bottles. We just want to bring impact to both skincare and also environment.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And so what was the process like of developing these products, especially when, you know, I'm assuming you guys didn't have any experience in creating your own beauty products from scratch before. So what was that like? Yeah. How long did that take to kind of hit upon stuff that worked?
For deodorants, I did a lot of research on Google, YouTube, or online. And then we have geochemistry at chemist background. So a lot of trial and error. So we mix maybe the wax, the oil, and then we see whether it's too sticky or too oily. I think I still have the first prototype. It's really...
It was really bad.
So we just try it on our own. Like sometimes I have like white patch on my underarm, something like that. It's really crazy. And then in about 2 weeks time, I think, and then we just launching our natural deodorants. And then the first thing is we want to test the market first. Instead of just perfecting the formula, we test the market first.
Because what we think is good may not be good as for others. So we just keep improving from the customer's feedback and all. So that's why we do it in a different batch. So every time for the, like it could be so much different when the product's produced like last month. Yeah, so until we found a manufacturer, like eventually, when the orders are getting more and more, right? We can't just do it on our own. So we just submit to a manufacturer. And even the manufacturer with the chemist background said like, oh, you guys are using a lot of like good ingredients. Like,
got shocked. Like,
yeah.
How do you know that? Huh? Yeah, you are a lawyer, how do you do that? You do it at home?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing about creating products at home, which is it's difficult without that sort of production line equipment to deliver as consistent, I suppose, a product, because minuscule changes from batch to batch even, you know, could affect the overall effect of the product, I guess. So that's interesting. And one of the other things that I find interesting is that you guys made it a point to immediately trademark your stuff, which is something that I don't know if people... other people who are interested in entrepreneurship are necessarily aware of or of the importance of that. So talk to me about that. Like, I mean, I'm assuming that was based on your previous knowledge from your law backgrounds.
Yeah, because during my pupillage, I was working in an intellectual property law firm. Yeah, so I got a hands-on of seeing how many clients coming in saying that they're business trying to sell, but they're like one of the, because intellectual property is still count as an asset, business asset. So when they want to sell, they have to include that. And also there are so many problems from the different clients saying that, oh, this counterfeit, this one is stealing my trademark. So I'm aware of that, but it just takes time to process the whole trademark. So we saw what is ahead of us, so we tried to protect as soon as possible because we understand the cost of it to deal for the whole legal issues later would be so much more expensive.
Nice. So very like prevention is better than cure sort of approach. In that respect. And you guys initially bootstrapped a total of 1,500 ringgit, right? So that was the initial start, you know, when you guys are in your parents' bedroom in Penang and all that stuff. Where exactly was that used? Was that just for pure like raw materials and then you just sort of worked from there?
Well, we have to work the money really, really, really smart because we just got off our pupillage. Our pupillage salary was really low, like 1,005. That's like our saving from that. So, yeah. So, how do you come up with the raw materials?
Oh, for 1,000 ringgit, I think I come up with 1,000 ringgit. I don't come up with 500. So, mostly the money was spending on the packaging. Paper tube packaging is more expensive than plastic.
Yeah, a lot.
It's really expensive. And then we're spending on the ingredients. testing different ingredients from different suppliers.
Yeah, that costs a lot because we don't know which brand is good until like we have to buy 10 of different different wax.
So yeah, so that's why we spend our money on. And at the beginning, we didn't spend any money on the marketing or ads yet. So I mean, this is supposed to be a side hustle. Mm-hmm. Like earning few $100,000 per month, we'll be really, really happy on top of our salary.
Yeah. So we never thought of getting a huge machine and thinking of opening a factory in a few months soon. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's also really interesting because this was supposed to sort of be something to tide you guys over during the pandemic when you couldn't, you know, no law firms wanted you and now look where you are, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's really fascinating. And we do have to take a short break for some messages. But after that, I will be speaking to Ivor and Ming about their shot to success using social media and more specifically TikTok. We will be discussing that after the break here on Open for Business. This is BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Brave Finance Managers, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today are Ivor Lim Sianzet and Chu Hoi Ming, who are the co-founders of natural beauty brand Higer. Before the break, we talked about the catalyst for the company and how they made the jump from having a law background to becoming beauty brand entrepreneurs, as well as the research and development process for their products as well. And before the break, one of the things we talked about was the fact that this was always designed as a side hustle for you guys. It was something that was intended to be something just to tidy guys over while you guys were looking for positions within law firms. Then TikTok happened, is what I gather. So Ivor, I think, would be the best person to talk about that experience. First of all, what made you guys sort of use social media the way that you did? And then tell me the story of the TikTok that went viral as well.
Well, before that, before TikTok even happened during the MCO, we tried posting pictures on Instagram. And yeah, but because we got no knowledge of marketing and we're just trying different platforms and even zero designing skills, we just try to use like Canva instead of Photoshop. So we just take a photo of a lip balm and just post it on Instagram and expect some sales. That was such a big mistake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Instagram is such a very saturated platform already for even small business to grow. And at that time, I was still using TikTok, so I understand like, oh, videos are getting more interesting now and it's slowly taking over some of the social media platforms because the audience attention span is getting shorter right now. So we started TikTok for a bit because we're still discovering, like we just post probably once a week and because, you know, like getting filming and editing the video, it takes time. And until I remember it was May 2021. Mm. Yeah, May 2021, like basically a year ago when we tried to follow a TikTok trend that it was just like a 6-second thing. Mm. It was just like the smacking the credit cards, like give me the, use my
take
money.
Take my money, right? Yeah.
Yeah, with the reviews. Then I realized that it kind of worked because I integrate the trend into our business.
Mm.
So it's not just like plain smacking the credit card with the lip balms because it would sound really hard sell. We just put like a green screen at the back with the customer's review. So it looks legit, like a before and after photo. So it was just not planned out at all to be going all viral. So it just hit like 1 million views.
And she didn't even put on your makeup.
I got my allergy on with my face. Like, okay, let's do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from that onwards, we just try to post daily until now.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because it's a combination of different things and it's interesting to look at what went into the virality of the post. I think it's, first of all, the trend was already happening. Then it was the relevance of what you were doing and what you actually, the content to the trend. And then also, I think there is an element of maybe that level of authenticity where it's, there's something to TikTok, especially where the feel of it, you either have super produced stuff or you have content that's like, I filmed this in 5 seconds. It looks that way, right? But that's not necessarily the case. And maybe that sort of impromptu feel of that, I think, maybe contributed.
Yeah, the impromptu videos always work better than the well-produced videos that we did.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Something to do, I think, with, you know, the way that social media consumers nowadays, they love authenticity and truth and honesty and stuff like that. So I think that's really interesting that is what sparked that. So tell me about the aftershock of that moment. I mean, how did that then impact you guys at Haiger?
After that, we haven't got like enough sleep for a year until now because we didn't know. Because even our when it got viral, we got like 200 or 300 in an hour of orders. And our paper tube packaging was only like 50 pieces. That's how unprepared we were. So we had to order the packaging for 2 weeks. 2 weeks of like pre-orders. So so until now, we're still catching up with the orders, post TikTok contents. Because I feel like if you post, the more you post, the higher chances you get to go viral now.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And has the sort of interest been consistent since that boom from May 2021?
I feel like yes, because now we're getting more people replying to the video, so we get comments. So we can reply the video to the comment. So initially we wanted to start something, but there wasn't anyone to comment. So we got no one to like talk to, no questions asked. And now we have like a little community. Like even when we started a pop-up store, like, you know, like, oh, I saw your TikTok. So one of the little things like this that make us keep growing and be strong despite all the eventual issues that we're facing.
It sounds like basically your approach now with social media is, you know, after that initial boom, right, you have a big focus on continuing to communicate really consistently with your customers as well and continuing to interact with them and integrate them into this community of people instead of just like, oh, we went viral once and then it's a misconception, right, with some companies or people that, you know, they go viral and then they're like, well, let's do exactly that thing again and then maybe it will go viral again. But that's not really how the internet works. It's more about
the internet trends. It's not about you.
Just getting that interaction, making sure you're staying relevant and trying to, you know, actually engage with the audience, right?
Yeah.
I think for our content, we document our journey, like even some parcel delivery, packing stuff, all that. So I mean, that's how we content.
Sometimes I would doubt his ideas because he was like, okay, let's do the unboxing of the mold. And for some reason, it got like 100K views. Like, okay, I'll just let you do your stuff.
I personally 100% would watch an unboxing of a packaging mold. I think that's really fascinating. And one of the interesting things about the power of social media and how you guys have leveraged on it is you've also used it to actually expand your product line a little bit because I believe one of your customers crocheted lip balm holders and sent them to you. And this was through social media where they just kind of did that for fun and then let you guys know. And now that's on your website as a legitimate add-on as a product.
Yeah, because it was so crazy. There are so many people like after seeing a bloom on social media, they tried to reach out for collaboration, but none of them just kind of make sense to us. Like, some of them are gym clothes. Like, you want to collaborate with us, like candles or perfumes. Like, it just doesn't go. It's not on brand with us. So she's the only one who took the initiative to send it to us because she was the customer and she knew our address and she just posted us. And it just added value to our lip balm instead of just, this is your product. Like, there's no connections to it. Mm. So And she was only 19.
Yeah, she's only 19.
Yeah, we were surprised.
Still better than others.
Yeah, she was smarter than any other people who reached out for collaboration.
Brilliant. Yeah. So I think that's really great. And, you know, from there and that sort of uptick in activity, now the company has grown and you guys, I believe you mentioned this before the break as well. You guys now have a manufacturing facility at your disposal. You guys have a set up production line and everything like that as well. And not only have you expanded in that sense, but your product line has expanded massively as well. You've got not just the two products anymore. You have all these other face hair oils. There's like a lash serum, a cleanser. Of course, you guys also got in on the sanitizing hype as well.
Yeah.
Naturally. It felt like a very natural thing to do during a pandemic, I suppose. So tell me a little bit about, you know, when you guys had that boom and you sort of had that massive increase in profit suddenly, where did you start? How did you start to sort of spend, integrate that profit into the spending for the company?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think after the May 2021, after the boom, and then we got more capital in hand to operate the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then for us, mostly we're spending on inventory.
Inventory products. Because the orders are getting more, so we want to shorten up the delivery period, so we just order in bulk. So most of them goes to like all the empty tubes, like all the raw materials and all in bulk. Yeah.
Only from there we started like allocate small budget on ads, like digital ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Google ads, all those. So yeah, but mostly the money will be went into packaging and also the ingredients.
Mm. And also, where do you source your ingredients and your packaging from?
Okay, for packaging, we can't find it here in Malaysia.
Not too, at all.
So expensive in Malaysia, so we have to source it from China. So I buy it from China, I have to sea ship or air flight to Malaysia. So for ingredients, we all source locally, which are local supplier.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that, you know, there have been a lot of disruptions with logistics as well, especially for a lot of people when they are importing their packaging, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys run into that problem as well?
Yeah,
a lot of times. Because due to COVID, like even the China side, like a few COVID cases, they were closed on the whole city.
Yes.
So we were just, okay, we'll just wait for 2 weeks. And then another 2 weeks, it just adds on until we had to find an alternative source in Malaysia. Because we were talking about the drawer box or like the pizza box that you can source, but it's like 2 times more the price. So yeah, that's something to think about inventory. You gotta source it quickly.
And when we're sourcing from China, normally we see the shipping fee will be cheaper,
right?
But sometimes too urgent, we have to air freight. So even for the shipping fees, still 1,000 ringgit is expensive.
Right.
So yeah, we do run out of this kind of situation and we have to use the expensive method to solve it.
Fair enough. And, you know, tell me about the expansion of your product line as well and sort of the general direction you guys are heading in with the strategy for that.
Okay, so for now we have two, like, best-selling products will be the lip balm and deodorants. We are aiming to be a personal care product company that when you sit over your makeup or your personal
your
care tables, it will be all paper, tube, sustainable packaging products. This is our goal, our objective.
We're trying to convert people into environmental friendly all products one day.
Fantastic.
And then we mostly listen to our customer what do they want for their next product, not what do we want.
Even the one of the new colors for our tinted lip balm, we just asked or we posted on Instagram and asked them to vote, so most of that chose by them.
That's great. Now, I also want to just quickly mention that even now, even though the company has grown to this extent and, you know, with the massive amounts of success that you guys have, this was intended to be a side hustle and to an extent remains a side hustle for both of you. For Ming, you are still involved with the law industry. And for Ivor, you are also on the side, a full-time content creator as well. So talk to me about that and about, you know, managing all of that workflow.
Time management plays a big role of it, but I think you have to focus. Sometimes we have different jobs just to test out which one is aligned with our passion and at the same time gives the most flexibility to work on our own focus, because I used to have a full-time job that, as a video producer. So I slowly begin to realize that, okay, I should, even though my full-time job is quite flexible, it's only like 3 days in the office, but still part-time effort gives like part-time results. So I decided to quit. I wanted to focus more on the business, and because it takes more time, and because like some businesses, sometimes the business would, you know, like come up with an inventory issue out of sudden, so you have to deal with it really quickly.
And for me, how do I allocate my time is I have 30% in law firm, and then slowly moving more time for Heidel, and then slowly turning it into a real business.
Great. Really interesting to hear that, you know, slowly, even though this started out as a side hustle, you guys are slowly making this into your main hustle eventually with time. So I guess my final question for you guys is, what are the plans for the future of Higer? Are you guys looking for external investors? Are you guys going to continue to expand your product line, staffing as well? I mean, is that something that you guys are looking at? Tell me about the future.
Well, we're planning to take in the production on our own in a few months because we currently are getting all the products by the manufacturer. But sometimes the lead time are quite long. So we're trying to take it back. We're trying to hire more staff, production line. Because right now we only have two staff, the one who packs the orders and also the customer service works remotely. So in the future, we're thinking of expanding our business online, you know, probably like just a warehouse in a factory. We'll do some bazaar, but not physical stores at the time. Yeah.
So for investor-wise, we do have some investor approached us before, like...
trying to buy our business.
Yeah, buy over our business or investing our business. But for now, I don't think it's the right time. We're still in the very beginning. So I think it has a lot of potential in Higer. So in the future, we might set up our own GMP factory, but that costs a lot of money. And we might think of taking on some investor on that time. So yeah, everything's still in plan. Sort out our inventory issues. Hopefully, we can have more things on our hands so we can control.
And hopefully we'll expand to international customers, because there are a lot of people asking especially from Philippines, that where do you ship? And then we can ship, but the shipping fees are so expensive, we just don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how some other big companies can do such a cheap shipping fee. So that's what we're trying to solve.
Right. So basically, hopefully you guys will have your own factory where you guys can take the manufacturing back into your own hands. And then the other expansion would be into staffing and hopefully international presence as well. Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much to both Ming and Ivor for joining me on the line today to talk all about Higer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I've been speaking to Ivor Lim Sianzet and Chu Hoi Ming, lawyers and co-founders of natural beauty brand Higer, here on Open for Business today. If you've missed any of today's show, you can go ahead and download the podcast. You can find the podcast on our app, which is on the Apple App Store or Google Play. And you can also head over to our website, bfm.my. This is BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.